Well, I asked Justin to lead that song, "Can He Depend on You," as our invitation song this morning because it goes along with our lesson. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. This song, "Can He Depend Upon You," is a good song. We don't have it in our songbook, but nevertheless, it has some good thoughts. And basically, the idea behind this song is individual personal responsibility and the emphasis of that within our lives. Now, God certainly doesn't have any dependencies. That is, He doesn't depend upon us in an objective sense, but what He has done is by choice decided that He is going to depend upon us for some things. And that's because He wants us to grow and to spiritually mature so that we can become more like Him. And so God in His wisdom has said, "I am going to depend upon you for some things," and we're going to talk about a few of those things this morning. And after we're done with our lesson this morning, we're going to sing this song, "Can He Depend on You?" and think about the application of this lesson to that song. In Matthew chapter 25 and verses 24 through 30, we have the end of the parable of the talents. And if you remember in this parable, there is a man who gives talents to his servants, and then he goes off into a foreign country. Now, this is exactly what we're talking about. God has chosen to depend upon us for some things. He has given us some talents that we can use and that He wants us to use for Him. And now He has gone off on a far journey. But one day He's going to come back. And in this parable, the Lord does come back and He starts to take an account of the things that His servants have done. And the one who had five talents, he went off and he made five more talents. The one who had two talents, he went off and he made two more talents. But what happened to that one talent man? He buried his talent in the dirt. Now listen to what Matthew 25 and verses 24 and following have to say. "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. But look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Well, in this parable of the talents, we see that God is teaching us, Jesus is teaching us, personal and individual responsibility. We each have a responsibility to do what we can with what God has given us. And so to be pleasing to God, we've got to learn what we must do and how to do it. Can He depend on you to use your talents, to use your abilities in the best ways that you can? Well, unlike the one talent man, we need to be concerned about taking what we have and using it properly. And that's what we want to do and talk about this morning. Can He depend upon you, first of all, to help the needy? Consider, if you would, Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 27 and 28. It says, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Say not to your neighbor, 'Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give,' when you have it with you." And then look at Matthew 14 and verse 17. "For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do good to them, but me you have not always." Now, when we think about these verses, we understand that there are some who have needs, and we need to be concerned about helping them with their needs. Jesus said there was always going to be poor with us, and that we were always going to have the opportunity to help the poor. Paul made it clear that he was going to help the poor and that he wanted to help the poor, and he told the other apostles that he wanted to remember the poor in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. And the apostles told him the same thing. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. And so helping the poor was part of the apostles' core mission. It was part of their core responsibilities. And they saw it necessary to charge Paul to do that. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6 in verses 17 through 18, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." This word communicate can also mean share. And that's what he's talking about in this passage. He's talking about sharing what we have with others, especially those who are less fortunate than we are. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28 we read, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good." Why? That he may have to give to him that needs. Yes, we labor so that we can help the one who has needs. Well, how do we do this? How do we give to the poor? Well, first of all, we can give to the poor through the church. We need to ensure that our giving to the church is what it needs to be, so that when the church has the opportunity to give to the poor, either through perhaps the food pantry or through some who are traveling through who need assistance with traveling or who may need overnight stay, that we're able and we can help those individuals. And we have a great budget to do that in this congregation. And Brother Mike Rainey is the deacon who is responsible for the benevolence budget. And he does a fantastic job in managing that. And we're very thankful for his good work. But you know, sometimes we get it in our mind, we think, well, you know, the church gives to the poor, so my responsibility is met. I don't have to do anything along that line on an individual basis. And that thought is not right. We do need to individually help the poor as well, as we have opportunity. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us, "It is not enough to say, let the church do this work for me." Should we let the church do our evangelism for us? Of course not. Should we let the church take care of our family for us? Of course not. Should we let the church handle all matters for us? No. Well, then why would we come to the attitude of helping the poor and say, well, it's just the church's responsibility to do that. I don't personally have to do that. You see, all the things that we do as the church, we are responsible to do as individuals as well. And so let's help the poor so we can say, yes, the Lord can depend on me to do just that. Can he depend on you to help the poor? But then secondly, can he depend on you to live for him? As Christians, we have been redeemed from the consequences of our own sins. And that is a great blessing. We just sung the song, "I'm redeemed." And as I was thinking through that song, I was so thankful that Jesus has bought me out of sin so that I can live for Him. What a beautiful thought. What a wonderful thought. And we then now have an obligation to our Redeemer to live for Him. Look at what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We are not, as some suggested this morning in Bible class, that some believe that they can say, oh, I believe in Jesus and now I can live my life however I want. I can do whatever I want because I'm saved. Once saved, always saved, they say. That is flatly contradictory to what this verse right here tells us. Because this verse says that he has redeemed us so that we can live for him. That we should not live for ourselves. But the person who says, I can do whatever I want, they're just living for themselves. That's all they're doing. The Bible nowhere ever teaches that. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul wrote this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, what is the life that Paul lived? It wasn't his own life. It was the life of Christ. Can he depend upon us to live for him? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 9 and 10. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. What a statement, huh? Whether we wake or sleep, we should live for him. What an amazing thought that the Apostle Paul has there to show us the extent that we ought to be thinking about living for Jesus. Yes, whether we wake or sleep, we should be living for him. Oh yes, when we go out there in the world, others are going to see the things that we do. They're going to hear the words that we speak. But what will they take with them? They will see the consistency of our lives, how we live. That's what they're looking at, both the words and the deeds, and how they go together. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. And by that he meant that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, as James exhorts us in James chapter 1. How are we going to live for him? We are going to be faithful in the jobs that we have. We're going to do a good job and work unto the Lord. We are going to abide by the laws of the land. We're going to recognize that we are not lawless, but that we submit to authority. We're going to keep our lives pure and simple. We're going to live with the constraints that God has given us in His Word and be faithful in that regard. We're going to keep and guard our tongues so that we don't say things that we ought not to say. And we're going to apologize if we do say some things that we shouldn't say. We're going to, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, effect spiritual transformation in every aspect of our life, okay? And because that is what we're seeking to do. Constantly being transformed into His image all the time. And we want us to be able, or we want Him to be able to depend upon us to do that for Him. Let's live for Him. Can He depend on you to do that? But then finally, can He depend upon you to teach the gospel? We have been charged by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to other people. When he came into this world and he was of age, the Bible says that he went everywhere saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He went preaching and teaching the gospel, the message of the gospel of the kingdom. He was a constant advocate of God's will within his life. And he wants us to do the same. He wants us to advocate for Him. He wants us to pursue the message by sharing it with those within our lives. One of the last things that Jesus said to the apostles is recorded in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Yes, he wanted his apostles to go out and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he said. Matthew 16 and verse 15. And we are to follow that great commission today. If we look into the book of Acts, we see that the apostles did exactly what Jesus told them to do. In Acts 1 and verse 8, he said this, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses," or "you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now look at the plan that Jesus gave them right there in Acts 1 and verse 8. He said, "I want you to preach in Jerusalem." And so that's the first thing they did in Acts chapter 2. They preached the gospel in Jerusalem. He said, "I want you to preach in Samaria." We get to Acts chapter 8, and what do we find? We find Philip going into Samaria and preaching in Samaria. And then Peter and John come down to Samaria, and they're preaching in Samaria. And then he says, "I want you to go into all the world, the end of the earth." And what happens in Acts chapter 10? Cornelius calls for Peter to come in. And Cornelius is a Gentile. And so far the church hasn't been preaching to the Gentiles. They've only been preaching to the Jews up through Acts chapters 1 through 9. And that's it. But now God has shown Peter that what he has cleansed, Peter is not to call common. And he is to go into all the world. Now Jesus already said it, go into all the world. But the apostles didn't quite do that initially. But then they got straightened out. And in Acts chapter 10, he preached the gospel to Cornelius. And he said at the end of that, "Who can forbid water that these also should be baptized?" And he said, and that, you see, that was the thing for the Jewish people. They didn't want to put their hands on a Gentile to baptize them. That was the stick-up. That was the hang-up. Because if they touched a Gentile, then they were unclean. And that's why God had revealed to Peter there in Acts chapter 10, what I have cleansed, you don't call unclean. They weren't unclean anymore, you see. But the Jews were continuing to say, "No, I can't touch a Gentile. He's unclean." And so they wouldn't baptize them. But now Peter says, "Who can forbid water that they should be baptized?" And then he says, "He commanded them to be baptized." And they baptized Cornelius and his household that day, and the gospel was now beginning to go to all the world. And of course, we see throughout the book of Acts how the gospel spread into the Roman Empire under the hand of the apostle Paul and many others who are out there teaching and preaching the gospel message, because Jesus had given them the marching orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they did it. In Luke, or in Acts chapter 28 and verse 31, Luke records that Paul had been preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And in Acts 8 and verse 4 it says that therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of God. Well, how do we do that today? How do we take the gospel to those around us? And we have several ways that we can be involved in preaching and teaching the gospel to others. We've got a nice DVD stand in the back of the auditorium there, or in the foyer there, and there are DVDs there, and you can take a DVD and you can give it to one of your friends if you'd like to do it. Those DVDs are free and they're available for you to use. Take one of those and give it to somebody you know needs to hear the message of the gospel. You can take a DVD. We have CDs that are made of the sermons that we record here every week. And those CDs can be distributed. And we have all of that backed up so that we can make CDs as many as you want from as many lessons as you've ever heard. And we can get that to you pretty quick. Or, if your friend has access to the internet, he can go online to newbostoncoc.org, and they can look up our website. And guess what we have on our website? We have all of the audio sermons, We have the videos of all of our worship services and Bible classes. We have everything that we do here publicly on our website, and that is available for anyone in the world to look at. We also publish all of the bulletin articles that are written and the bulletin itself on our website. And I also upload all of my sermon outlines on our website. So that website, and by the way, this year we surpassed 1,000 items on our website. 1,000 items. Now think about that. That's like having a tract rack filled with 1,000 different tracts that you can just freely distribute to anyone and everyone who needs it. That's an amazing opportunity to preach and teach the gospel to others. And we are doing a fantastic job with that website. In fact, it is just going like gangbusters. We broke another record last month of the number of pages that were viewed on our website. And every month that number seems to be going up more and more. We have a report. At least we did. Do we still have it up there, Jim? The report for the website on our bulletin board. And it was released in the bulletin a few weeks ago if you didn't see it. So point people toward our website. You know, write our website down and just give it to them. Or give them one of our business cards that has our website on it. And tell them to go study God's Word on the website. That's evangelism. We have correspondence courses. Sister Becky isn't here this morning, I guess, unless she's sitting in a different spot. But Scott and Becky are heavily involved in a Bible correspondence course, and they have correspondence courses that they could send to somebody if they'd like to study the Bible through the mail. And if you have a name of someone who would like to study the Bible in that way, you know, in the privacy of their own home, and you can send them that correspondence course, and they can study the Bible there and send it back to Sister Becky, and she'll be happy to grade it for them and send it back. She does that every week. She is so faithful in taking care of those correspondence courses. There are opportunities for personal Bible study. If you would like to have a personal Bible study with someone, we have materials that you can use to sit down and have a personal Bible study. Or you can invite one of us here in the office to come and have a personal Bible study. I think Jim would be very happy to do that. I would love to do it. And our elders, I'm sure, would be tremendously happy to have a personal Bible study with someone. There are so many opportunities. And if you get finished doing that, go meet some people. If all of your friends and relatives have already heard, you tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and you do that regularly, go meet some new people. Go get involved in some other activity. Go out there and find someone else to preach and teach the gospel to. Yes, God wants us to take the gospel. Can He depend on you to do that? We're going to sing this song, Can He Depend on You, as our invitation song this morning. And if maybe in your life you've been thinking about it and you think, well, you know what? God just hasn't been able to depend upon me very much. And I want to make a change in that regard. I want Him to be able to depend upon me to do these things that we've discussed this morning at least. And much more, right? To help the poor, to live for Him, to teach the gospel message. And this morning, if you would like to make a change in your life and you'd like to request the prayers of the church to help you to do that, then you can come forward and ask for those prayers. Or maybe today you realize that your life has been spent living for self and you know that Jesus is your Redeemer and that He has bought you so that you could live for Him, and you need to start living for Him today instead of having lived for self for so long. And you want to become a child of God through hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can be a Christian this very hour, and you can live and begin living for Him each and every day. And then you also can say, He can depend on me to do all of these wonderful things that we talked about doing this morning. How will you answer this wonderful question today? Can He depend on you? Let's live our lives so that He can, while we stand and while we sing this song.